Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto carnal, but as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. So we break down into the first section, which is 1 through 4. And in 1 through 4 we have, well, let me just talk about the chapter as a whole for a second, because there have been many that have misinterpreted this passage, and they get it wrong on more than one count because they build on an improper foundation. So at the front of the chapter, when the apostle is talking about being carnal, and he's talking to the Corinthian church, yet as a carnal church, some have developed from that a doctrine of carnal Christianity. And then a carnal Christianity leads to the building of your works as good works, either gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And so when you're judged, then, you that are carnal Christians, who only have a profession of faith in Christ, you'll be saved through fire, you'll still be saved, so you need not worry about it. You have eternal security in Christ because you've done whatever thing that the church said you needed to do, ask Jesus into your heart, or whatever it is. So you can tell by the way I've described that view that that's sub-biblical, and it is quite sub-biblical. The Apostle Paul is not telling them it's okay if you're carnal. He's not saying an estate that they can still take refuge in. He's shaking them up out of their carnality. And the second portion of the chapter, where he talks about wood and stubble and gold, silver, and precious stones, is not talking about the membership of the church at all. It's talking about the ministers of the church. And I'll show you that in just a second. At the beginning, however, when Paul says to them, you are carnal, well, if I was invited to a church to preach, and I went there, and the first thing I said to them is, you know, I was beholding all of you as we were all getting ready to go to church and, you know, come into the worship service, and I was watching and listening to your conversations, and, you know, you were at the... And I just want to tell you, you're all carnal. But I don't want you to be worried about that. Well, that would be foolish. That would be healing the wound of Israel slightly, right? Telling them peace, peace, when there is no peace. The carnality that Paul speaks of here, with their division and strife, they're elevating one minister over another, they're dividing themselves because of it, is a sign that they're living as mere men and not spiritual men. That's a bad sign, not a good sign. That's the point the apostle's making here. And so if ever we have a minister that would come to us and tell us, ye are carnal, I would hope that we would take that very seriously and not attempt to wash it away, as some have done with the interpretation of the rest of this passage. He's telling them they're carnal, and he's telling them because as carnal, their souls are in danger. Now, Paul spent quite a lot of time with the Corinthian church when he was there. He spent quite a little bit of time. It was either a year or 18 months. I don't remember off the top of my head. But it was either 12 months or 18 months. He spent, I think it was 18 months in Corinth and 2 years at Ephesus. So 18 months he's at Corinth. And he tells them all throughout those 18 months, I fed you milk. I was bringing you along with the beginnings of Christianity. And so he is waking them up. He is chiding them. He is upbraiding them. In a sense, perhaps, even scolding them for their divisive ways, for their party spirit, and for their carnality. And he does so because he loves them and would not leave them secure in a state where they ought not to be secure. Those of you who have a Logos library with any kind of Puritan works in it, just go gather them all up into a collection and do a search for carnal security. And you'll find that the Puritans spoke very long, very often, and in very much detail concerning the term carnal security. Carnal security was a bad thing. In other words, what our Puritan fathers are telling us is that what the doctrine ought to be among us is carnal insecurity, not carnal security. All right, so then Paul goes past that section in verses 1 through 4, beginning in verse 5, to teach them about what the ministry is. At the end of the chapter, he puts the capstone on it by saying, the ministry is for your sake. It's for you, Corinthians. That's what the ministry is for. It's not for you to divide. It's not for you to raise up one man over another. One of those guys, he planted. Another one of them, he watered. But God gave the increase. But it was by the ministry that the planting and the watering took place. And so he changes his topics now what he's attempting to do is to get them to stop dividing over the ministry and recognize it for the wonderful thing that it is, so that they would stop misusing and abusing the ministry in their midst as a way of dividing themselves. And so he's talking then through all of this section about the man's work, whether it abides and whether it's wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stone. And all of that has to do with the ministry. Notice he says, I'm a co-builder with God, and you church, you're a building. I'm like an architect. I'm like a builder. God is the chief builder, and we are workers together with God in order to build up the church. And so we see what an egregious misuse then of the ministry it is to divide based on the ministry, because it is given for the building up of the church. So Paul says, I'm the builder, you're the building. Paul says, use the ministry in the way that Christ has intended it to be used, and that is that you may be built up by it so that you will give glory to God. When you start elevating one teacher over another, then what you do at that point is you begin dividing yourselves, and you're not being built up anymore. Instead, you're tearing yourselves down. Then he would have them understand this from the standpoint of God's judgment. Notice throughout this whole discussion, he does not say to them, okay, now I want you to be very careful and judge those ministers that come and preach to you. He never told them that. Frankly, at this point in their Christian faith, they're not equipped. They're still being fed milk. That's where they are. They're carnal. And so what Paul says is, I want you to understand that whether it's me, whether it's Apollos, whether it's Cephas, it doesn't matter. We will all stand before the Lord with all of the works that we have done in relationship to building, whether we have built with wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. Because the day, that is the day of judgment, shall declare it. And every work that we've done will be tried by fire. And he uses the analogy, it's a very consistent analogy. He uses items that are flammable and then items that cannot be burnt. So that when he uses the word fire for the judgment, some of those works will be burned up. That is, they will be seen for the nothingness that they are. And then others will be seen for the enduring quality that they have, because they are commensurate with the Word of God. They are built upon that foundation that no man can lay except the one that is laid by Jesus Christ himself, and that is, he has laid himself as the foundation. Or we could say that God has laid that foundation, right? Remember, I lay in Zion a stone. And so that foundation is laid down. It's laid down by God. Now the ministers come along and they build up on that. It is their job. Not only are they part of the building as part of the church of Jesus Christ, but they are also builders in it. And not everyone is a builder. But those builders will be judged by God. And so it is as if in revealing that judgment, he is telling the Corinthians, what I want you to understand is you ought to stop judging these men and siding with one or the other. It is Christ who has sent them to preach. One waters and one plants. And just because one waters and one plants doesn't mean that you need to choose between them. They are accountable to God in their ministry, and God will judge their works, and he will bring them into judgment for it. And that's the point he's making. So we have then a couple of different reasons, right? Number one, you shouldn't be doing that because you're carnal. Number two, you shouldn't be doing that because of the parity of the work. One is planting and one is watering. Third, you shouldn't be doing that because you're out of place in doing so, because you're not a builder, you're the building. And fourth, they answer to the Lord and the Lord will judge them. Now, strong errors require strong statements. Let us remember that these are not absolute statements, because elsewhere the apostle tells us, To do what? To judge all things and to hold fast to that which is good. So there is a judgment that belongs to us. But the judgment that the Corinthians had entered into was illicit, carnal, divisive. They had set themselves as judges over their teachers rather than receiving the word of the Lord at their hands. And so that's the point that Paul would make there. All right, so then in the final section, he once again returns to his discussion of wisdom and folly. Wisdom and folly. And this has been throughout chapters 1, 2, and 3. So all throughout that, he says, now, this may not seem to you to be a very efficient way of doing things, but remember, it is God's chosen method to have men ordained to the office of teachers among you, that they would teach you these things, that through the foolishness of preaching, you would be brought to faith in Jesus Christ and incorporated into that house that Christ himself is building. You might think that you have a different way, but remember that all of the worldly wisdom that you have is foolishness in the sight of God. This is the method that God has chosen. And then he closes by reassuring them that this is the best thing that they could hope for because it is God's gift, literally Christ's gift to them, because he says, all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or life or death, all of those things belong to you. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in building up his church, has given you everything that you need. And that's how it ends.